It's 8:15 now. Good morning. I'm Leslie Thatcher. Well, as we have reported, the Summit County Council held its annual retreat on Tuesday. On the phone with a recap of that day, I have Council Member Doug Clyde. Good morning, Doug.
Good morning, Leslie.
Earlier this week, we reported on the proposal that was brought up at the retreat for a new so-called health levy on our property tax bills. What was your reaction to this idea?
We all responded with, need for more information. Essentially, it was kind of the bottom line. We're, committed to the strides that we have made in mental health, particularly. But at the same time, we're very cognizant that raising taxes is an unpopular idea.
Right. And is that what this would benefit, more mental health strides, or is it as a result of perhaps putting so much towards mental health that other programs may be suffering?
No, the mental health stuff, by and large, is being funded by grants that are specific to that. So in other words, we're, by and large, not going out and using general funds to fund the mental health program.
So what would the health department like to fund that they can't currently fund under the existing budget?
I think all they're saying to us is that the goals and objectives of the health department, while they remain the same, the implementations of those goals, which we've been going through over the last few years, has just led them to some additional costs, and they're just looking for ways to fund that.
So yep.
It's understudy is kind of what it boils down to.
All right. So what other goals and objectives did council discuss for next year?
Well, I think, primarily our principal, sort of guiding principle, if you will, is that we're trying to eliminate the need for any new full-time employees. We're trying to manage our work plan so that our departments know clearly what it is that they're supposed to do, and that they're not getting distracted by other interruptions. That our goal is simply to stay within budget and scope.
All right. Well, I guess that kind of brings up the fact that Council Chairman Roger Armstrong issued a mandate on staff management, basically telling staff if they ever got a phone call from an individual council member asking them to work on some item that the staff member should then talk to County Manager Tom Fisher. So is that part of these interruptions that you mentioned?
Well, it's to some degree that was tongue-in-cheek, but... But it is to make staff very much aware of the fact that they work for the county manager. They don't work for the county council. And when the county manager sets their priorities, we should not be changing those priorities. And that's just good common sense management.
Sure. Do we have council members pitching pet projects without going through the manager?
I think we did a fairly good job of containing that in the last couple of years, and it's again, it's part of our goals and objectives just to be more efficient. We came out of a commission form of government in which the managers actually did do the day-to-day operations for various departments. And so, to some degree, both staff and the history of our management structure is that council people do get involved. Now, council people, we all have our own projects, goals, and objectives that we're working on. But the message is just simple: is that we define those at the beginning of the year. If something comes up that is that is significant, that we need to add, that we've overlooked, then we'll take that up with the manager and figure out how to adjust.
And certainly a big event next year is the census. Is the county ready to conduct the census?
Well, we're certainly working on it. We're focused on it. Our manager of economic development, is working pretty diligently on it to make sure that we are effective at counting everybody in the county, because that ends up translating to monies from various government sources.
Right. And any ideas about how we plan to deal with our Latino population who may be apprehensive about responding to the census?
That's a problem that we need to work on, you know, generally as a community, and you know, it's going to require the full effort of not only county staff, but the various nonprofits that we have involved in those areas as well.
And I guess something I didn't really was aware of is that a census is all about counting people. It doesn't matter whether they are citizens or not.
That I believe to be true, although what the precise meaning of that is, I from a financial point of view, I don't know.
The council also spoke about their initiatives involving public lands and where they have put their priorities, given the limited time that the staff members have. So what will get the staff's attention, working with the Forest Service on wildlife, the Public Lands Initiative, or the Central Wasatch Commission, or are we just going to kind of divvy it all out?
Various departments have various interactions with other non-county governmental authorities, and they of course do include the Forest Service. And you know, we're very concerned about the management of our forests and the effects on watershed, especially from fire. But at the same time, what staff was pointing out to us is that we have some. Forest agencies that we're cooperating with that have a very small impact on our county, and for us to get fully involved in their National Environmental Policy Act funding and permitting process is not necessarily the best use of our time.
All right. What about the objectives for the Weber River? That's always, I believe, a major topic for you, Doug.
Absolutely. I think we're all working on that in terms of upgrading our water quality procedures so that we can help at least stem the slide of that river into non-compliance.
Okay. And then what are the goals for transportation?
Well, transportation, the goals, fundamentally is to do as much as we can with the resources that we have, and we're in the process of going through budgeting right now to determine how are our resources being spent. Are they being spent in the most efficient way? And so that's what we're focused on, is just, are we getting the biggest bang for our buck out of our transportation system? You know, we're very happy with the progress that we've made on transportation in general, want to make sure that we're doing it the most efficiently as we can.
Yeah. Now, have you been briefed on any winter changes now for transit? I had yesterday just heard about a rerouting of the Pink Line, and it sounds like we finally got a bus perhaps going to Summit Park that would also make stops at the Woodward.
We have discussed expansions of a couple of existing routes. They're not huge, as indicated. It's an existing line that runs out to Jeremy. Now we're going to extend it out to Summit Park. We're also looking at the line that runs out to the hospital and the health department and Peace House, et cetera, and looking to make that a regularly scheduled stop. So again, just trying to do targeted improvements. Of course, we're making improvements to the Camas route by fixing up the parking lot there, putting in some restrooms so that it's a a more functional park and ride. And that has been one of our bus routes that has been quite successful, and we're just trying to improve it.
And then any ideas discussed about regional planning, especially on those issues that involve the county and Park City, Wasatch County, and MIDA, things like that?
Certainly, we didn't talk about that too much at the retreat itself, but we do have meetings set up with our neighbors to begin discussions about what are our mutual goals and what should we be cooperating on, and should we be expanding our transit system to include Wasatch. And these are the first time that we've been able to approach those subjects with our neighbors.
All right, and you're having those meetings in like what, some quarterly updates? Is that what you're doing with?
I just know that somewhere on my calendar we've got meetings with Wasatch County Council in the near future.
Okay. I wanted to ask you about the fact that the retreat was held in North Salt Lake at the headquarters building for local government trust. That's basically the folks who insure the county against the lawsuit. Did they have anything news from the trust itself?
No, I think that was just an opportunity for us to get to meet that organization, understand how they fit into our overall management, and we had a brief presentation from their chair, and that was about it.
Okay. Finally, anything else you wanted to mention?
I think you did a pretty thorough job, Leslie, so I think that'll do it. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. That's Summit County Council Member Doug Clyde. You're listening to the Local News Hour on KPCW. It's 8:27. The Snyderville Basin Planning Commission met on Tuesday once again to spend some time in work session looking at the plan from Dakota Pacific to revise the Summit Research Park plan. In the studio with details on that discussion and more, I have Planning Commissioner Crystal Simons. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
So tell us a little bit just about yourself. And you've been on the Planning Commission how long?
I am serving my first term, which started in technically February, but at my first meeting was held in March of 2019. And yeah, honored to serve the community.
Okay. And just something you wanted to do? Or?
Yeah, I actually studied urban and regional planning at UC Berkeley and have a master's degree in that. I focused on urban design, and professionally I work in land conservation and specifically wetland restoration with private landowners who have conservation easements across the country. And so I felt like, having come back to Park City 2 years ago, we had lived here, my husband and I, prior to that. He actually grew up here, and his parents have been here since the late 70s. Came back to Park City to be part of this mountain town, and it's a way to give back.
Okay, so you get what's happening with all of this
very much
development
so.
Plans
yes.
Then. So in this meeting, the applicant had a PowerPoint showing the scale and massing of the buildings, what they would look like compared to the surrounding Kimball area. There's offices, commercial, residential, a hotel, with some heights up to six stories. Are six stories allowed under the existing zoning?
Currently, the approved development for that parcel, which we used to refer to and still do as the Park City Tech Center, the height limits are restricted by what existing code would have. But with the addition of the new mixed-use zone that the county that the Planning Commission has recommended to County Council for approval, there is some wiggle room with regard to heights if applicants and projects do certain things like underground parking, et cetera. Specifically relating to the massing of this project, the height limits that the applicant is proposing are not currently approved, and there would be a lot of further review and understanding of specific parcels, specific buildings, and specific uses to enable something that they're proposing. I think it's important for the public to understand right now that what we're looking at is very much preemptive to an actual application. Nothing is under formal review at this time. The applicant is coming to the council for dialogue and guidance on what they would, what their proposal might look like. And the commission really does encourage, these work sessions are open to the public. If folks have concerns or would like to learn more about the project, they're more than welcome to join us in those meetings.
Okay, so I thought there had to be an application for the Planning Commission to start this process. No?
Because we're working on it in work session, my understanding is that this right now is a review of a development agreement amendment. There's nothing being decided formally at this time.
Okay, and so given that we're talking about revising the development agreement, they haven't come in for a rezone, which they would have to do in order to allow that mixed use, or no, a mixed use is just kind of an overlay that they would have the availability to use if they wanted.
It's my understanding that the zoning, I don't have the application in front of me, but the zoning for the Tech Park does allow a certain level of office, and the residential has already been put in on that parcel, that they're the condos behind. So in a way, that's sort of mixed use. But what we looked at on Tuesday was really a massing study of what could be different from what is already approved. And that's what we focused on Tuesday.
Also, so given kind of what they saw with those, some of those heights up to six stories, some of the planning commissioners certainly said that's a major issue. John Cusera saying it's different from anything they will see in the region, and he put it as totally transformative. You had somewhat a different reaction. What was that?
You know, I think actually folks are used to seeing stories up to six heights. We could see them in the canyons, for example. There are allowed uses there. There are places within our community that higher heights might make more sense. Again, I think it's super important to consider context and the urban or suburban fabric that surrounds these types of developments. We, prior to listening to the massing study from this developer, had heard a very informative and data-ridden presentation from Jeff Jones, who's a planner for the county, regarding housing. And it actually cited a lot of numbers from the prior American census. And it gives us a sense of what our demographics in our community look like and what the demands for housing might be. I think it's important for people to understand that we all like the rural character of our community. We live in the mountains for a reason. That said, Park City is growing, and we're a dynamic community, and we want to encourage growth. But if we have, looking at Mr. Jones's presentation, we have a trend where our community is both aging, and we have fewer young people, and specifically fewer middle-aged working-class folks coming in, and a lot of that looks like it's because of the cost of housing. So to afford the ability to build good, quality, desirable housing in our community, we not only have to look at where that might happen and make the most sense, where what's left, and then also how can we afford it? How can we work with developers to make sure that we can get that type of housing and that doesn't compromise our other community values of preserving open space and transportation concerns, affordable housing concerns? So I think with a project like this that's so early in a phase, I think it's really important for us to be able to have a very open dialogue and have opposing opinions about what may or may not make sense for our community. And that's why we encourage the public to join us. I think my observations of the massing study were a little bit more future looking. I think we have to consider the demands upon our town and our community and the housing crunch that we're in, and considering what do we want to have housing that would be suitable for seniors? Do we want to have housing that's suitable for single young people who work in our ski resorts and provide services in our community? To do that, we have to look at a myriad of factors, and sometimes height might be a consideration in that.
So at this point, do you think this change could meet Provision 2.3, which requires the county to show a compelling, countervailing public interest to justify approval of increased density?
I don't think we're at that point yet. We have a lot to look at. We need to consider the amount of density that's already approved on the property. This applicant is, in this proposal, pitching a very long-term, phased, ambitious vision. You know, I think if folks look at the PowerPoint, there's a lot of really interesting civic spaces. There's a gondola that could potentially take folks up to the Olympic Park. There's a transit center that would be, you know, state-of-the-art and fascinating. And they're really thinking of this parcel because it is at the gateway of the entrance of our community, right, at Kimball Junction. There's so many factors to consider, but at this point, we don't have the data to consider whether it has a prevailing community interest or not. 2.3 is a very important component for us to consider, and we will. We need to look at the details, and right now we're looking at design, and those things will come.
Yeah, and the gondola too. I mean, this is all about the Olympics, right? I mean, because if we really wanted to move people, we would have that gondola go to the Canyons Village side of things, of Park City Mountain Resort. We've got 100 times more people, probably more than that, 1,000 times more people going to the resort than we do to the Utah Olympic Park, no?
Probably. If you looked at the data, I don't know what the data is on that. But I think that, again, this is not something that would happen in 5 years, right? The vision that the developers are putting forth is long-term. It would be a phased project. We're really trying to consider and do our due diligence as a commission to ensure that any additional approvals or amendments would be appropriate, not only to what the community has articulated their needs and desires through the code and through the general plan, but also being open-minded about where our community is going and accommodating for that tourism growth and potentially an Olympic bid and all of those factors.
Real quick, the Planning Commission also recommended the moderate income housing plan, but almost ran into a dilemma. The county has to approve that plan by December 1st. How come?
That's right. There's a legislative action from the state that requires counties to adopt certain aspects of the new bill. And I apologize, I don't know the number of that off top of mind. But staff has to move forward with something so that the county is in compliance with the state law.
Well, a major concern raised by Planning Commissioner Candace Hart asking if the plan will have language saying that we are going to develop a community with integration of housing. So does the plan say that at this point?
That's right. We actually, we did forward a recommendation to the council with language that would include the vision that we want to ensure is understood, that affordable housing isn't a one-off project here or there, but rather that it's integrated into development so that there's a mixed use of housing types. You know, we'll have affordable single family, we'll have affordable apartments, etc.
Okay. Finally, the Planning Commission took a field trip to Silver Creek Village. What was that for?
That's right. We are looking at a specific parcel on the edge to consider a requested amendment to that parcel's zoning.
Okay. Anything else you wanted to mention?
No, thank you for your time.
Thanks for coming in. That's Snyderville Basin Planning Commissioner Crystal Simons. You're listening to the Local News Hour here on KPCW. KPCW News Time 8:46. Good morning. Will the Park City Summit County Arts Council hosting its next community convening tomorrow, where they will be focusing on the places and programming collective priorities from the project ABC Cultural Plan. In the studio with details, I have the Executive Director of the Arts Council, Jocelyn Scudder, on the phone, Jake McIntyre, the Project Manager for Project ABC. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning. Thanks for having us.
Good morning.
So let's see. The results of Project ABC were released, what, is it a year ago already?
Yeah, it was. So this is good. Actually, I wanted to give some background because I think there's a lot of people that still might not know, be even familiar with the Arts Council or our community convenings or even the Project ABC Cultural Plan. So I want to just do a quick refresher. And so the Park City Summit County Arts Council, we're an umbrella arts nonprofit that supports the local creative sector at large. And our mission is to promote, support, and strengthen arts and culture in our community in Summit County, Utah. Utah. And so we led a cultural planning process in 2017 with the community, and it's called Project ABC Art, Beauty, Culture. And through that process, we executed and completed a cultural plan, which lays out a roadmap for the future of arts and culture. And that was informed by community stakeholders. And so that was released in 2018. And now in 2019, here we have this amazing plan where we have priorities laid out by the community. And we're calling this phase implementation phase, right? We don't want this plan to just sit on a shelf. There was a lot of investment and work that went into this and a lot of time. And so we want action. This plan is owned by the community, but as the Arts Council, we do feel it's our job to maintain momentum and convene the community around these topics that the community stated were important to them during this Project ABC survey and planning process. And so now, as part of that, to really get in front of the community, we're hosting quarterly Project ABC community convenings. And these meetings are morning meetings where we really dig in to some of the collective priorities that were identified in the Project ABC plan. So I know that sounds, I don't know, it can be kind of heady to think about cultural plans. If you're interested in this or think that we sound crazy, go to projectabcsc.com for more info and look at the plan and see what the community has asked for. And, you know, this is laying out what the community said they want and need with, for the future of arts and culture in this community. And so we do have guest speakers coming, and this is tomorrow. Again, this is Friday, November 15th, 9:30 a.m. to noon. The convening is going to take place at the Arts Council's new pop-up space, Create PC, which is located at 660 Main Street. Most people know this as the old Zoom restaurant. We'll have light breakfast and coffee, but we have invited guest speakers to come and share their knowledge, projects, and ideas. And tomorrow, the theme that we're going to be talking about is public art and its role in community building, which I think is so relevant to both Summit County and Park City right now because there's a lot of energy and investment and amazing projects coming forward in both Park City and Summit County surrounding public art. The event is free and open to the public, and it's really for anyone. It can be someone who is interested in the creative community, art lovers, enthusiasts, creatives, people who work in the creative sector, or even people who just love our community and want to see it thrive in a variety of ways, arts and culture being one of them. So I've just alienated this. Jake is going to talk a little bit about our speakers who are going to be amazing tomorrow. But yeah, that's kind of the background and the full scope of what this event is tomorrow.
Okay, so Jake, I'll let you take it from there then. Who have you got coming and what are they going to talk about?
Absolutely, thanks. So we have three guest speakers. I'll say before I explain who those three speakers are, just one point on the idea around these community convenings is that we select a couple of the priorities from the plan, and then we find people who we feel like are leaders in those priorities or in a couple of those priorities from around, generally around the state. We have brought people in from out of the state, but typically they're leaders around the state who are doing, you know, similar work and inspiring work in their own communities. So we bring them in as kind of outside perspectives or outside inspiration. And then we talk about how those ideas or those, you know, inspiring projects or values or opinions might then connect back to the work being done in Park City and Summit County. So our three speakers tomorrow are Kat Nix, who is the public art manager for the Salt Lake City Arts Council. We also have Nancy Boskoff, who is an arts management consultant, but is also kind of a fixture in the arts management and arts administration world around Utah. A lot of people know her really well. And then Megan Hallett, who is an arts educator. She also is the founder of an organization called Framework Arts. And then she is actually a participatory public artist. And so she'll be talking about work in general, but also some of her personal work.
Okay. So if we're focusing on places and programming tomorrow, those three folks have a good understanding of that?
Yeah, absolutely. So the ideas of places and programming are the kind of priority areas that we're focusing on tomorrow. But within those priorities, there's a series of recommendations, and we kind of narrowed in on a couple of those recommendations, specifically with places. That's where we talk about recommendations relating to public art. And so as leaders in the public art sector, these are great people to talk about public art, but also how public art relates to kind of geographic places around a community. So really thinking about how do we have and experience public art, not just in traditional places, but maybe in non-traditional places, and how do we think about geographic equity as we work to spread public art around the county. So ideas around that are things that they think about a lot. And then as we look at programming, we know that oftentimes public art, especially through the way that these three think about it, has a programming component. There's often a participatory component, or there's some kind of really interactive or engaging piece. It's not always just a static, you know, sculpture on a bench or a corner or something like that that people can think of. So they have a very broad understanding of what public art can be. But then we also, as we look at programming, there's a recommendation in the plan about thinking about the arts and arts and culture as a tool to advance other community priorities. And that's going to be a big focus of these three as well, thinking about how can public art, you know, build community through its connection to ideas like mental health or transportation or social equity or sustainability. So it'll be an exciting take on what public art is, what it can be, and, you know, ways in which to use it as a platform for community activation.
You hit all the buzzwords there, so good job there. But I can recall when the plan came out and we were talking about the specific priority of places, you know, we had talked about how in Park City, for the most part, we have lots of physical places where art happens. We also have done a really good job with that static public art, as you've kind of put it. And what we really needed to work on, though, were other places in Summit County. So what's happening there in terms of kind of moving this out from the kind of the nucleus of Park City?
Jocelyn, do you want to take that one?
Yeah, I can speak to that a little bit. Obviously, this is a relevant conversation right now for both Park City and Summit County. For those of you who don't know, there's two public art boards that exist in our county. One is the Summit County Public Art Advisory Board, and then there's the Park City Public Art Advisory Board. Park City oversees projects in 84060 land, for lack of a better term. And then outside of that is all of the public art that's installed and managed is outside of that. So, you know, including the Basin, Snyderville, and then also Camas, Colville, Oakley, Francis, all of that. And so we're actually going to talk a little bit about part of the agenda tomorrow is for Jenny Dearson, who is the public art. She oversees the public art advisory board with the city. She's going to be coming and joining us and talking about some projects that have been successful, successfully implemented in Park City, but then also projects to look for. And then for those of you who don't know, the Arts Council, actually our team manages and administers the Summit County Public Art Board. And so we're going to be giving an update about projects that have been successful and then things to look for. And so there's a lot happening in both the county and the city. There's also a lot of public investment. Both councils have prioritized funding for public art. And so that's been just something exciting, something notable. And we're excited to provide a platform for the community to understand what to look for public art, you know, maybe understand the public process. This is all public funding. So, yeah, we're excited to bring that in because really the point is to relate all of this content to Summit County. How can we implement some of these exciting projects and ideas in Summit County?
Yeah, so as you talk about, you're trying to implement the plan now. So we have this discussion tomorrow. What happens after that then?
Well, I mean, this is really, it's a platform for community inspiration. We want to get the wheels turning. We want to get community members energized. And it's also an educational platform. I think public art can be misunderstood a lot as, you know, and I mean, all of these community convenings, we're talking about kind of big picture goals in arts and culture, you know, community wide. And so we've seen a lot of interesting outcomes from these community convenings, people who didn't know each other, talking to each other, coming up with a project, coming to us. I mean, it's really just to spark community conversation, maintain momentum with the Project ABC cultural plan, remind people that we have all of these amazing assets. There's a lot of energy behind arts and culture right now. And, you know, we as the Arts Council, we're here to kind of keep it going, leading implementation and take action on some of these collective priorities in the plan.
Okay, again, 9:30 to noon there, you're going to be meeting. What was the address again on Main Street?
So it's 660 Main Street, but okay. Again, it's the old Zoom restaurant, so hard to miss. And 9:30 to noon, bring a friend. It's going to be a really wonderful meeting. And if you haven't been to our new Create PC space, you'll be able to check it out.
Yeah. How is that working, the makerspace and the Create?
You know, it's going really well. Thanks for asking. We have local artists in residence. People, especially visitors, have been coming in, giving us great feedback that they're able to connect with a little bit of Park City identity, walking into this local makerspace where they can buy local art and see the process. So it's been hugely successful so far, and we're excited to continue.
Okay. All right, anything else, Jake or Jocelyn, you wanted to add?
I think that's it. You can check out anything about what the Arts Council is doing at pcscarts.org. Thanks so much.
Okay, thank you. Jake McIntyre and Jocelyn Scudder with the Summit County Park City Arts Council. Thank you.